This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Death Row. For many, it's the final stop on their journey through life. For others, it's the name of where they live out the rest of their days, waiting and wondering if death will find them before the state. Today, we look at three death row cases. Dustin, John Higgs, Joseph Woods, and Clarence Ray Allen. On the dark side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of Wikipedia.
Dustin John Higgs was an American man who was executed by the United States federal government, having been convicted and sentenced to death in 2000 for his role in the January 1996 murders of three women in Maryland, Tamika Black, Tajani Jackson, and Meesham Chin, were all shot and killed near the Poutangst Wildlife Research Center and a refugee in Prince George County, Maryland. Because this case is classified as federal land, he was tried by the federal government rather than by the state of Maryland. His case, conviction, and execution were the subject of multiple controversies. The main contention was that Higgs did not personally kill any of the three victims, but waited in a vehicle nearby. The man who shot them, Willis Mark Haynes, was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole plus 45 years. The prosecution argued that although Higgs did not kill anyone, he was the ringleader, ordering and bullying Haynes. Higgs and his defense team maintained his innocence to the end, arguing that although he was involved, he was merely a witness and was set up by Haynes and another witness, Victor Gloria, in 2012. Haynes swore in an affidavit that Higgs did not force or threaten him into killing any of the victims. Higgs was executed via lethal injection on January 16, 2021, becoming the 13th and final person executed by the federal government during the presidency of Donald Trump, when federal executions returned after a 17-year hiatus. Trump's presidency ended only 4 days later. Higgs remains the most recent person executed by the United States federal government. In his early life, Dustin John Higgs was born in New York on March 10, 1972, to Alfonso Higgs and Marilyn M. Bennett. When Dustin was 8, Marilyn was diagnosed with cancer. She died in 1982 when he was 10. Friends and relatives saw a big change in his mood after this. He moved to Laurel, Maryland in 1991. On the evening of January 26, 1996, Higgs, Willis, Haynes, and Victor Gloria drove from Higgs' apartment in Laurel, Maryland to Washington, D.C. to pick up Tamika Black. Tanji Jackson, and Meesam Chin. Dates had been arranged for each of the men and women and the groups that agreed to meet to hang out together. The six of them traveled in Higgs' vehicle, a blue Mazda MPV van, and returned to his apartment to drink alcohol, smoke marijuana, and listen to music. The partying continued into the early hours of January 27th. At some point during the night, an argument broke out and the women left the apartment. Higgs, Haynes, and Gloria then headed out after them, with Higgs driving his own vehicle and Haynes sitting in the front passenger seat. Gloria was sitting in the back of the van behind Higgs. Higgs drove his van to the side of the road where the women were walking. They offered the woman a ride home, which they willingly accepted. The women got into the back of the vehicle and Higgs drove out of Laurel. Neighbors in the area reported hearing and seeing the three women laughing and talking in the early hours of that morning. Higgs drove his van along a state road onto the research refuge area and stopped the vehicle near the Wildlife Research Center. The women got out of the van and Haynes exited the vehicle. Haynes then fatally shot each of the three women with a silver 38 caliber pistol before returning to the van and closing the door. The gun was thrown into the Anacostia River. Early on January 27th, a passing motorist found the women's bodies and contacted the park police. Jackson's day planner was found at the scene with Higgs' nickname and telephone number recorded in it. According to the medical examiner, Jackson and Black each had been shot once in the chest and once in the back. Chin had been shot once in the back of the head. The murders went unsolved for nearly 3 years. Higgs was first questioned about them in March 1996 at his apartment. He acknowledged that he had known Jackson and had talked to her the night before she died. He was arrested and his apartment searched, as he was suspected of an unrelated bank fraud violation. Police found cocaine and firearms in his apartment. On May 12, 1997, he pled guilty to possession with intent to distribute cocaine. He was sentenced to 17 years in federal prison. In October of 1998, Gloria and Haynes were arrested on unrelated drug charges. After being questioned, police learned of more details surrounding the murders. On December 21st, Higgs and Haynes were indicted by a federal grand jury on murder charges. Higgs was already in custody at the time, serving a 17-year trafficking sentence. After this revelation, Higgs and Haynes were tried separately in 2000. Gloria pled guilty to being an accessory after the fact of the killings, and in exchange for testimony against Higgs and Haynes, was sentenced to 7 years in prison. His testimony was the main piece of evidence presented in Higgs' trial. The prosecution's version of events was that Higgs got into a heated argument with Tanti Jackson at his apartment on the evening of January 26, 1996. Jackson had supposedly taken a knife from the kitchen and threatened Higgs after she rejected his alleged sexual advances towards her. After the argument, the woman left the apartment enraged. According to Gloria, Jackson made some kind of threat as she left the apartment. As Higgs watched the woman leave, he saw Jackson appear to write down his license plate number. According to Gloria, this angered Higgs, who was concerned she knew people who may retaliate against him. The men then left the apartment and headed after them in Higgs' van. They pulled over and offered the woman a ride home, which they accepted. The prosecution accepted that they were not forced into the vehicle or taken against their will. Higgs did not drive the correct way back to Washington, D.C., and instead drove to the research refuge. Higgs pulled over at the scheduled location and ordered the women out of the van. The women then asked if they were being forced to walk home, which Higgs responded, something like that. As the women got out of the van, Higgs took out a handgun and handed it to Haynes. According to Haynes' testimony, Higgs then said to him, "Better make sure they're dead." Haynes then exited the van and Gloria heard gunshots. He witnessed Haynes shoot one of the women in the chest after the women were killed and the gun was disposed of. Higgs drove back to his apartment with Haynes and Gloria. Gloria was later dropped off at a fast food restaurant where he was told to keep his mouth shut. The defense argued that Higgs' alleged reason for wanting the women killed, Jackson rejecting his sexual advances, and possibly knowing people who may have retaliated against him, was a very weak motive for ordering three murders. They said the idea that the women willingly got into the van for a lift home also contradicted the idea that Jackson was angry at Higgs and would seek revenge. The defense claims that the real reason the women were killed was because they owed Haynes and some of his associates drug money. Two inmates at the Charles County Detention Center said Haynes had claimed to them to have a much bigger role in the killings. One argued Haynes was more of a partner to Higgs and someone who followed orders. One said the victims owed him drug money and that Haynes had to kill one of the women because she had been trying to set him up. Higgs' lawyer said he only learned of the witnesses after reviewing Haynes' trial record, by which time Higgs had already been sentenced to death. The evidence would supposedly have made both Haynes and Higgs equally culpable in the eyes of the jury, and the failure to provide the statements violated the Brady Rule. According to the defense, both Gloria and Haynes repeatedly changed their stories, with Haynes admitting in 2012 in a sworn affidavit that Higgs had not forced or bullied him into doing anything, something the prosecution had claimed at Higgs' trial. Ultimately, Higgs and Haynes were found guilty of the murders. On August 24, 2000, Haynes was sentenced to life without parole plus 45 years. The federal judge at Haynes' trial claimed he had shown no remorse for the killings. He's incarcerated at the United States Penitentiary in Beaumont. On October 26, Higgs was sentenced to death, becoming the first person from Maryland to be sentenced to death in the federal court system. He was incarcerated at the United States Penitentiary in Terre Haute. On November 22, Gloria was sentenced to 84 months in a federal prison. He was released on February 4, 2006, serving a total of just over 5 years and 2 months in prison. Multiple controversies surround Higgs' case. Firstly, he was sentenced to death despite not personally shooting or killing any of the three women. The case against him was mainly built on the testimonies of Gloria and Haynes, who had both cut deals and changed their stories multiple times. The fact the murders were committed on federal land further complicated things. Higgs was tried by a federal government rather than by the state of Maryland. Had the murders occurred further down the road, the women could not have been killed on the research refuge, and Higgs would have been tried by the state of Maryland instead of by the federal government. If he had been tried by the state of Maryland based on state law, he would not have been eligible for the death penalty. The state of Maryland also abolished the death penalty in 2013, with all remaining death row inmates resentenced to life without parole. Prior to the abolition, the last execution in Maryland occurred in 2005, when Wesley Baker was executed for the June 1991 murder of 49-year-old Jane Tyson. The execution was controversial in part because Higgs was executed during a lame duck period. He had also tested positive for COVID-19 a few weeks prior. Higgs' attorney raised a concern that COVID-19 had caused him lung damage and that during the execution he would experience a sensation akin to waterboarding. The execution was postponed by federal judges' ruling on January 12. The Supreme Court voted 6-3 late January 15 to let it proceed. At 1:23 a.m. on January 16, 2021, Higgs, 48, was executed by lethal injection in the United States Penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana. His last words were, "I'd like to say I'm an innocent man. I did not order the murders." He mentioned each of the three murder victims by name. He became the third and last inmate to be executed by the United States federal government in January after convicted murderers Lisa Marie Montgomery and Corey Johnson, who were executed on January 13th and 14th, respectively. Higgs was the 13th and final person executed by the United States federal government during the presidency of Donald Trump. He also remains the last person executed by the federal government as a whole. He's buried in a rural cemetery in his hometown in New York. So the dark side of Wikipedia is what you are listening to. We're doing a rundown of a handful of people who experienced death row and kind of going through their stories on today's episode of the program. Probably have a handful of these in the future because there's a lot of interesting cases that don't have a ton of backstory to them but are worth discussing and taking a look at. If you like our program, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And if you really like it, become a supporter through Patreon. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia or go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. And $5 a month will get you access to our advanced episodes. You can keep binging away with the regular episodes and the final chapters, all of them with no commercials in. Again, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. Thoughts thus far on that case?
Good to talk to you, Tony. And you know, at the end of the month when you're driving home to visit the parents in rural Wisconsin and there's a higher amount of state troopers on the roadways because, well, it's the end of the month and they got to get their quota of speeders, and maybe you'll get pulled over if you're going 6 miles an hour, where maybe on the third or fourth of the month there's people that go 20 over that don't get pulled over. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like this fella fell in the trap of, well, we got to up our quota of convicting somebody who may or may not have done something and then kill them.
It's kind of amazing that, you know, obviously he was involved in a crime in some way, shape or form. And there should certainly been a punishment of some way, shape or form here for him. But it's amazing that he got the death penalty and the guy who actually pulled the trigger did not.
In no way, shape, or form am I insinuating that Dustin Higgs will be a part of my 50th birthday party or any other activities involving my not-to-be-born-yet children. He's probably not the best guy in the world, but he kind of got hosed on this situation. There are convicted murderers who, I mean, are on tape of killing multiple people who get to have their execution dates pushed back for decades, where their lawyers are this, that, or the other. This guy actually had a sickness that would maybe make his killing a little bit less than humane. And an actual legitimate gripe. Hey, man, he's kind of sick right now. Can we just, like, delay this thing? Furthermore, he committed a crime in a state that doesn't have the death penalty. There's so many parts of this story that, again, I'm not insinuating Dustin Higgs is going to be the humanitarian of the year. But at the same time, this fella, justice came down hard on him without, from what it looks like, that much factual evidence to put him to death.
I mean, in this case, I would almost say, you know, had he gotten a life sentence, I would argue that there'd be a way to get him off eventually on something, just because he didn't do it. just to say that he ordered it. Okay. I mean, but you're getting this from the person who pulled the trigger and another person who also want to get plea deals. So they're probably going to say whatever. They'll fucking tell you that he, you know, gave birth to a donkey as well.
If the Wikipedia article says that they changed their stories multiple times, you can only imagine what actually happened. Furthermore, changing their stories and accepting plea deals.
Yeah.
Do you really? I mean, this is. We have absolutely no evidence. We have no witnesses. So here, you person, come on over here. All right, you can tell me four different things. We're just going to take what we want to paint this picture correctly. We'll also give you a deal. Okay, cool. Dustin, come on over here. Sit in this chair. We're going to tie you up, shoot you up. You're dead. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. I mean, he sat there on death row. I mean, he did have almost three decades on death row. But still, I mean, it's just, I mean, then what got him? The orange monster who wanted to kill a bunch of people, at the very last hour. So it's just like, what the fuck? In a case like this with so many questions, I don't know why this would be the one that you pick to kill. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who have been convicted and the evidence is clearly there, and they will sit on death row for another 30-40 years, and likely illness will get them before the government does.
I'm not a huge political person and I kind of stay out of that, but it makes sense when an outgoing president is wanting to tie up any loose ends. It's very interesting though to do a little bit more investigating to see prior presidents pardoning people. Do they also want to, okay, how many people do we have on death row?
You don't see that. That's the thing. You don't
take them all out.
You don't see that. You see the pardoning thing. You don't see the let's kill a bunch of people before I hit the bricks. You know, it's
how many beagles do we have in animal shelters nationwide? All right, let's euthanize them all.
Well, there's always a second term for that to happen. And I'll get 10 people going, you're saying Yeah. Well,
by the way, I love beagles and dogs more than humans. So that was 1000% sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly. it was fucked up. Take all the political things out of it. It was not normal for that to be happening at the 11th hour.
I am not much into the legal system, nor do I want to be, but it's a very interesting little consolidation prize where, so we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you when you have an actual legitimate humane gripe of having an illness that has killed many. But after we kill you, we'll bury you in your hometown in a beautiful cemetery just outside your hometown as a nice little thank you.
A little gesture. Like,
what is the relevance of where you're buried at that point? You're put to death by a lethal. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly a case that I feel should have gotten more attention, more It did have attention, but I mean attention to more consideration, I think, is the word. Consideration as to the evidence and to maybe saying, yeah, at the least we push off this death row execution, and at the most maybe a life sentence like the other guy got. But even that, this guy, if you're looking at this from a distance and go, okay, who pulled the trigger? Who was in the car? And you had to guess, okay, well, who's getting the life sentence here? It would not be the, you'd think it would be him, and who's getting death? You'd think it was the guy who pulled the trigger. How the fuck this all got rearranged? It just seems like it got fucked up. But that is what it is. Let's go to our next one of Joseph Randolph Wood III. He was an American convicted of murder, executed on July 23rd, 2014 at Florence State Prison in Arizona. With a two-hour lethal injection procedure that was described as botched, Wood gasped and snorted for an hour and 57 minutes after the drugs were injected, and the entire procedure took almost 2 hours. Experts said the execution should have taken about 10 minutes. Wood had been convicted of murder and assault for the August 7, 1989 killings of his estranged girlfriend, Deborah Dietz, and her father, Eugene Dietz. Wood was convicted of 2 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of aggravated assault against a police officer. He was sentenced to death for each murder and received 15-year prison sentences sent to run concurrently for the aggravated assault convictions. Wood was scheduled to be executed with a combination of 2 different drugs, which had been used only once previously, for the January 2014 execution of Dennis McGuire in Ohio. McGuire's execution had also been described as botched due to McGuire appearing to snort, gasp, and convulse during a procedure that lasted 25 minutes. From 1890 to 2010, the rate of a botched lethal injection in the United States was 7.1% higher than any other form of execution, with firing squads at 0%, the electric chair at 1.9%, hanging at 3.1%, and the gas chamber at 5.4%. The execution began at 1:52 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and ended at 3:49 p.m. when Wood was pronounced dead. It involved injecting Wood with a drug cocktail of a sedative and a narcotic that were supposed to be lethal 15 times. Even though one dose was supposed to be sufficient to kill him, Wood gasped and snorted for well over an hour, and the media witness compared Wood's breathing to a fish gulping for air. An Associated Press reporter said Wood gasped more than 600 times. Experts stated that the execution should have taken about 10 minutes. Wood's lawyers filed an emergency appeal with the Supreme Court an hour into the procedure, requesting that the prolonged execution be halted. In the motion, they wrote, "He has been gasping and snorting for more than an hour. He's still alive." The appeal was denied by Justice Anthony Kennedy, with word coming half an hour after Wood's death. After the execution, Deborah Dietz's sister told the Associated Press, "What I saw today with him being executed is nothing compared to what happened on August 7th, 1989. Jeanne Brown said, "What's excruciating is seeing your father lying there in a pool of blood, seeing your sister lying in a pool of blood." Governor Jan Brewer ordered a review of the state's execution procedure, citing concern with the length of time it took Wood to die. Regarding the execution, Brewer said one thing is certain, however. Inmate Wood died in a lawful manner by the eyewitnesses and medical accounts he did not suffer. This is a stark comparison to the gruesome, vicious suffering that he inflicted on his 2 victims and the lifetime of suffering he's caused the family. Charles Ryan, director of Arizona's Department of Corrections, said in a statement, "Once the inmate was sedated, other than respiration or snorting, he did not grimace or make any further movement. Throughout this execution, I conferred and collaborated with our team members and was assured unequivocally that the inmate was comatose and never in pain or distress." Stephanie Grisham, then spokeswoman for the Arizona Attorney General's office, who was also a witness, said, "There was no gasping for air. There was snorting. He just laid there. He was quite peaceful." Dale Botch, Wood's public defender, described the execution as a violation of the Constitution's prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment and said it could have been prevented. On January 24, 2014, Arizona temporarily halted executions following the Wood case, pending a review of its procedures. Leave it to the government to pick the route that's most likely to be fucked up. Like, let's see here. Of all the ways that we do the executions, We got one that's got a 0% rate of failure. We got one that's got a 5.4, one that's a 2.1. Also's got almost an 8%. Let's make that the standard. Let's just stick with the one that we're most likely to fuck up on a regular basis. Bravo, United States federal government. You guys are great. It's just so typical. But they can fuck things up in any way, shape, or form, really, in many cases. So it was just, yeah. I mean, did the guy commit a horrendous crime? Yes, without a fucking doubt. And if I were in the shoes of those people, the daughter and the other family members, I probably really wouldn't give a shit that the guy sat there and suffered for 2 hours. But I think, you know, and you remove yourself from that, we're a little bit better than that. This is why we don't do this shit in like public gatherings. We don't all go to the Metrodome and put a bunch of fucking lions in there and our criminals and say, hey, everybody, have some popcorn and check out the new icy flavor while you watch these people die. We do things that are more humane.
Yeah, I think that's just, unfortunately, trial and error situations occur. But you would think, why, if you're going to kill someone, why you don't go to a 100% confirmation rate of killing someone, which usually you can just shoot them in the head and that'll take care of itself. But as far as putting yourself in a position, I was thinking about this as we always talk. Well, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't have any sadness that he was put to death inhumanely because mm-hmm. he inhumanely killed my dad. Quite honestly, I have no idea what I would do if I was in that position. I've never, thankfully, been in a position where somebody has killed a family member. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know what I would do. I don't know if I would want to go kill myself after my mom or dad got killed because I wouldn't want to live.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very interesting when people say, well, if I was in that position, I would do this. How do you know that?
Me?
How do you know that? Well, just in a situation where if something horrific happened.
Yeah.
And the only difference between you and me is you being a dad, me not being a dad. I think that in and of itself, being a parent, even if you've never been in that position, just the overwhelming, you're a parent. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if anything happened negatively regarding your child or children, even though I've never been in that position, I fucking assure you that I would do terrible, terrible things to somebody who did terrible things to my child.
Yeah.
With that being said, any other situation, I don't know how I would feel. Again, if a loved one, not my child, was killed or such. And it's just interesting for someone, again, I use the preface, being a parent is in a category in and of its own, because as a parent, you have experienced things in life that you're aware of the situation and the emotions you feel if somebody inflicts pain on your child, watch out. With that being said, anything else, to put yourself in another person's shoes with zero experience mm-hmm. having that done to you, how then can even one give an opinion? Well, I would do this if I was in that situation. When you have no idea.
I guess my thought is roughly putting myself in the shoes of if my parent were killed inhumanely in this horrible way, and I don't have a brother or sister, so that's something I really can't compare it to because I don't have that experience in my life. But in theory, if I did, or someone very close to me were killed that way, so for example, let's say you and my dad are out for some random reason doing something and you're both murdered.
That was a fucking crazy Saturday night, man. Remember when we died?
Yeah. And then the guy who killed you is on death row and he gets the penalty and it goes wrong. I don't think I would feel that bad that it went wrong for that guy. But just because I'm too close to the case at that moment to have a balanced opinion, just because it's you never would have a balanced opinion on it because you're far too close to the fire. As you know, but if you're step away from it, I still could recognize that, you know, we probably should have a system where it doesn't get botched, but the cruel and vindictive part of me would feel very, I don't know if I'd feel satisfied or what, but I wouldn't feel bad if that happened to someone that was close to me. But I could recognize, though, that I wish we did have a better system where this wasn't even an issue, that didn't have to go on, that I didn't have to feel, yay, you suffered. We're all reality. I would want the person just to be dead. I don't want them to be gone. That's all. Just eliminate it. So that's where I kind of put myself in those sort of positions. But if, yeah, we're talking the parent route of things, if we're your child, look the fuck out. I mean, I would get one hell of a Wikipedia entry if something ever happened to my child, because that motherfucker would be in for one hell of a fucking ride, and it wouldn't be quick. So
it's interesting. You're not going to give this he or she a pass.
No,
just one bullet right to the old main jugular. It'll probably involve some jumper cables.
If it were accidental, that's different. I can forgive
some type of microphone.
It would be fucking live streamed. There'd be tickets sold.
here. By the way, you're gonna eventually die, but put on this lavalier mic. I want you to be. I want to hear you. It's gonna be three cameras.
If someone murdered or did something like that, yeah, that fucker's going down, and it's gonna take a little while. But I mean, if it was like a car accident or something, I can forgive that. That's an accident. I mean, I'd be horribly hurt, but I can forgive. But I'm talking like murder or something horrific or something like that. I get my hands on that motherfucker, you're going to have a fucking long ass Wikipedia entry in what went down that day. Because I mean, and I think a lot of parents would feel the same way. Thankfully, the justice system recognizes that instinct in a lot of parents, and they do protect the people who get arrested for that sort of shit. If they get their hands on them first, from said parents getting their hands on people, like, we're going to walk you out this way, we're going to keep you away from them. And you know, there's fucking armed guards everywhere. So that shit usually doesn't happen if they get the hands on the murderer first. If it happens the other way, guess what? You get the fucking event of a lifetime.
So we're just going to hope that those listening and any other members of the public don't do anything horrific. So they don't have to feel the wrath of you.
And I hope to God nothing like that ever, ever. It's the worst nightmare of a parent. But I can tell you, all bets would be off. I would not do well in that situation if there was something horrific that happened. It would not go well. So we have another murderer to talk about, Clarence Ray Allen. He was an American criminal who was executed in 2006 at the age of 76 by lethal injection at San Quentin State Prison in California for the murders of three people. Allen was the second oldest inmate at the time to be executed in the United States since 1976. Allen was already serving a life sentence for one murder when he was convicted of organizing the killing of three more people. His lawyers declared that he presents absolutely no danger at this point, as incapacitated as he is. There's no legitimate state purpose served by executing him. It would be punishment. They argued that his execution would constitute cruel and unusual punishment and requested that he be granted clemency by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was refused. And that's where we're going to pick it up in our final chapter, where the Terminator terminates a man. If you want to hear it, you can sign up to become a Darksider at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. You'll hear the rest of this story, as well as get access to all of our episodes in their entirety. Again, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Sean and myself will see you over there on Patreon. Search Dark Side of Wikipedia.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.